always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So, I get Lakers fans who got sick of some of that stuff. What I would push back on a little bit there, though, is that, like, all of NBA superstars come with at least some level of stand-up or drama or whatever it would be. You know, like Denver fans right now are a little nervous about Nikola Jokic's impending extension, and is he gonna take the extension, or is he waiting to get to free agency to get paid more? You know, Phoenix Suns fans are really thankful about the fact that Devin Booker stuck around even after the Kevin Durant disaster. But in order to get him to stick around after that Kevin Durant disaster, you had to pay him more than the GDP of a small country. And I don't know what that's going to do for their books here moving forward. People, you know, bring up Kobe and use him as an example of, like, how a superstar in a city or a franchise can be simpatico. But it's like, do you guys remember some of the aspects of Kobe? Because, like, not all of it was the greatest. End of the day, and it's like I've said, like, when you're really talented, you get away with stuff, because at the end of the day, your employer, your fans, or whatever, they abide some of that other stuff because you're that talented. But the moment that talent starts slipping a little bit, that interest in just kind of dealing with the other stuff also slips. And the faster that the talent declines, the faster that leeway declines. And there's obviously always other factors and stuff like that. But I really think, though, that, like, with the whole Lakers fans, like, oh God, there's no topic that annoys me more on Twitter right now than this argument from LeBron fans that he was never embraced, which is, like, just objectively untrue. It's just not true. And the number of people who were saying, like, oh man, I can't wait to see how well he's embraced in Philly. And it's like, yeah, initially, but if that team doesn't live up to expectations, Philly fans of all fans are going to be, like, patient with that. Totally. I just think it, like, what it really kind of comes down to is LeBron announced it by way of his agent that he was done with the city. And that was the, like, final thing that LA has to remember him by. And I think right now those scars are kind of open, and people are overlooking some of the highs of that LeBron experience for the sake of some of the recent lows. And I think they're also misidentifying where to place blame on some of those lows, because the people who were actually responsible for those lows, Jeannie, Rob, Rambai, are still there. And there's no real way to get rid of them until they are finally gone. So I think what it all kind of comes down to is, like, feel about LeBron however you want to feel about him. And I think some of the people that I was kind of ranting and raving about in Friday's episode are, like, way louder, but way fewer than we need to actually give credence to. All right, let's see. We have a few more super comments here, so I'm going to get through those, and then I had asked Twitter if they have any questions, and so I'll get some of those. Glad we didn't have to do a LeBron farewell tour. That is, I didn't see this comment before I answered the last one. That is objectively the funniest thing I could have followed that comment. That is the funniest like follow-up comment to what I just talked about in the previous little segment there. Like, that was perfect. I almost don't even want to address the comment because it's just so perfect. It's like the guy, it's like the person who, you know, said I was having a good hair day, the one episode, and then the next commenter's literal name was like, "Nice hair, bro." Like, sometimes the universe just lines up and provides perfect comedy. And that is that. Like, for me to go from like, oh yeah, I think it's a really small percentage of fans that like, we don't really have to pay that much attention to the next one being like, glad he's gone and don't have to deal with that. I will say this about the retirement tour thing or the farewell tour. A lot of like my peers and stuff, when we were kind of talking about this in Vegas and then when we aren't on the air and stuff, will kind of say like, I just don't know how the Lakers would have pursued a championship or competed for a championship while the farewell tour or the retirement tour hullabaloo went on. And I disagree. I the one thing that you can all like, you could never accuse LeBron of is that he didn't put basketball first in the vast majority of his decisions. The only honestly decision that he made that was not like a basketball decision as far as like the direction of his career was probably going to the Lakers in the first place. Outside of that, like, he went to Miami to team up with Dwayne Wade, to team up with Chris Bosh, because he thought that was his best opportunity to win championships. Then he went back to Cleveland to team up with Kyrie Irving to utilize the number one overall pick that the Cavs were about to get or did just get to win championships. Then he went to LA, and the Lakers weren't in a spot to win championships right away. And unless he had like really planned that thing out and gamed that thing out and thought eventually he was going to be able to get Anthony Davis there really, really fast, that was still like a project in the works that he was able to turn around and win a championship with. And then now, like going to Philly, you look at that starting five, and at least when Embiid is healthy, you can kind of see why he would make that basketball decision. So like, and I say all of that because as far as like a farewell tour goes, I think if a farewell tour or if a retirement tour truly started to get in the way of his chances at winning another championship, if it ever felt that way, I don't think he would have carried it out. I think he would have told the people responsible for that farewell tour or the documentary about the farewell tour to just kind of like pump the brakes a little bit. And like, he still really, really, really wants to win one more championship at least. And I'm not here to say that it impacts his legacy one way or another. Like, I truly don't care about LeBron legacy talk. I'm just saying from my experience covering him, and what little experience I have, or to the whatever minimal extent that I know the guy, I've always thought that he really cared about winning basketball games. And I don't think that he would have allowed a farewell tour to hinder his and his team's chances at winning a championship.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Still laughing at the combination of those two comments was great. That was perfect. Let's see, user TN6J5, whatever your name is, what Luca feels about LeBron leaving him and joining Brown in the Sixers. I feel like Luka should take it a little personal. Austin too, because of Rich. Well, for one thing, like, we can say it now that he's gone, but LeBron on a few different occasions was like trying to get Austin traded, whether it was for Kyrie, whether it was for DeJounte Murray. Like, there was some push from LeBron and his camp to see if they could turn Austin into a more known commodity. I don't think it was ever personal with Austin. I don't think it was anything other than he wanted players he considered that he maybe trusted a little bit more from a basketball standpoint than Austin. But that was a thing. And like, it doesn't really surprise me that he would see a player like Jaylen Brown. And I think it's a combination of Jaylen Brown and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And look at that squad and be like, all right, that I believe in more than what Rob Pelinka is building here. And I also think this is a lot more about trusting anybody but Rob Pelinka. And it also doesn't necessarily surprise me that he would go and link up with Bob Myers, somebody who built so many rosters that stood in his way when he was trying for championships in Golden State, you know, or when LeBron was like at the absolute peak of his powers, Bob Myers was still capable of building rosters, plural, that were able to knock him off. And I think, you know, LeBron probably respects Bob Myers' track record a hell of a lot more than he respects Rob Pelinka's track record. And I just think, like, you know, as has been brought up by other people on the show too, and on other platforms and stuff like that, I just think LeBron was pretty sick of playing, like being a Laker, and like dealing with the Rob and Genie and Rambi dynamic. And I think he was pretty sick of all of that stuff, just like they were pretty sick of some of the stuff that comes with LeBron. Doesn't make me any more bummed to see that split happen at a time when I think both could still help the other. But all that said, man, like, when Philly is healthy, that team is daunting as hell. And it doesn't surprise me at all that LeBron looked at that and said, like, that's a team I could win a championship with. And by the way, LeBron, like, to the one question I have about that group is like, all right, what kind of shape is Embiid going to be in? According to some of the reporting coming out of that situation, right? Like, LeBron checked in with Embiid and checked in with the Sixers to be like, what kind of shape is this guy going to be in? Because if he isn't in shape, if he isn't healthy, then our chances greatly diminish. What can be done here? And we'll see to what extent he has an impact on Joel Embiid's conditioning, something that has been a problem for throughout Embiid's career. Kernos Ball writes, I don't get how Wendy becomes a source for news. Me and him have the same sources being pulled out the ass. I am biased because Brian has been incredibly kind to me and a lot of my friends. Like, the stuff that he said about Raj, he is forever goated for me for that. Like, that was really, really cool to see from that standpoint. He like covered LeBron from like high school on. He is one of the most plugged in people in covering the NBA of anybody. I'm biased. I'm not going to go on a rant here in defense of Wendy, but I do think, generally speaking, people, Shams notwithstanding, let's put Shams over here, right? But with people considering people sources for news, often is linked to the type of news that is being reported. And I mean by that, that people, if they agree, if they like the news that somebody is reporting, that person all of a sudden becomes a source. If they disagree with some of those people's opinions, or if they disagree with some of the things that are being reported, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that guy's not even a source anyway. And I don't think the vast majority of people who are commenting on who is or isn't a news source, I don't think they're media literate enough to make those kinds of sweeping statements. Everybody knows at least something. Nobody knows everything. Nobody who is reporting on any of these stories has all of the story. You're trying to get as much of it as you possibly can, but nobody has all of it. End of the day, like, there are plenty of people out there who I question a hell of a lot more than Wendy. And I'm biased, as I said before, because, you know, he's been really nice to my friends and myself. But I've had enough conversations with whether it be him or people around the league, and I've never had a single person who I respect sit here and say, like, I don't think Wendy has it quite right on that front. It's never happened before, and I don't think it ever really will. Let's see. We got another one here from Gorilla the Conqueror writes, how does the Walter investigation affect the Lakers? Not really directly, to be completely honest right now. It might mess with his money a little bit, might cost him some money. So in that way, like, maybe the purse strings tighten a little. But I think he has plenty of money, and this seems like the kind of thing that he and most billionaires pay to have go away, and everybody kind of moves on from it. But I'm not saying I condone the behavior. I hate insurance, and I always think that, like, insurance fraud is just like saying insurance twice. You know, it doesn't surprise me that, like, he was conducting business that way, because that's how I think all billionaires conduct business. As far as, like, how it affects the Lakers, I don't think it does at all. There's no link directly back to the Lakers on that front. Let's see. Is there any more supers? They are. Trebla from earlier. Why don't you think DeAndre Hunter over Kuz? Hunter was pretty underwhelming when he got to Cleveland. I guess he's technically an option. I just don't really see the Kings trading with the Lakers without the Lakers having to pay a hefty tax. I could see it with Hunter. Ironically, Hunter was once a Laker, right? Like, the Lakers technically drafted him. But I hadn't really thought of Hunter. I think the Kings are kind of going in with the roster that they have right now to see if they can develop some of their youth and develop some of the youth adjacent that they have in their organization to see if they can bump those guys up to where they want to be. And I don't really see the incentive for the Kings to trade Hunter right now. Whereas, like, with the Bucks, I do see the incentive to trade him out of there and kind of get him away from their that team's youth and the youth that they're going to be looking to acquire as they rebuild after Giannis. I guess Hunter's an intriguing-ish target who wouldn't cost very much. I would say that the Kuz and Hunt, like, Kuz and Hunter are two sides of the same coin. How about that? I get it. Omar is saying that he'd rather have Omar than Kuz. I get it. But yeah, I think it's you know, navy blue versus Carolina blue. They're both blue. They both look good, depending on what you're accessorizing with. All right. First Twitter question that I have is my buddy Kirk asking me, why am I the way that I am? That is not a question to be answered at the 1 hour and 7 minute mark of the show. So we're going to go ahead and move on. LeBron's Big Toe writes, with no LeBron, how do you expect JJ to split the offensive actions between Luka and Austin, similar as last year, or a new dynamic, including Walker as an offensive creator? I've actually been legitimately impressed by Walker's connective ability at the pinch post and creative ability at the pinch post or the high post. I think that'll be something that gets utilized in the offense. I think it's going to be a heaping helping of Luka this season. I think if he stays healthy and the Lakers are like even goodish, I think Luka is going to have an MVP type season with the amount of time that he's going to spend on the ball. I think Austin is also going to pick up some of the slack from not having LeBron there. And then I also think that, you know, like Colin Sexton is going to be a big factor in bench units, both from the standpoint that like he has some built-in chemistry with Walker Kessler, but also because it'll be the first time JJ has a point guard who can just get by guys on his own. And I think JJ will be looking forward to being able to utilize some of that, in whether that be in the half court or especially in semi-transition. I think that's where Sexton will become a bigger part of the offense. I think the Lakers are going to be looking to run a lot this season, utilizing hit-ahead passes from Luka and from Austin Reeves. They have some horses to get out and go, and I think that'll be something that the Lakers do offensively. But yeah, I, you know, look, you're removing LeBron James from a team's offense, and that does involve a lot of creativity just to get back to being net neutral, getting better than that, being better on the other side of getting rid of LeBron James. That is the major, major question here. And, because of the personnel that the Lakers have on their team, I think they need to be overwhelming on offense, and they need to be slightly above average on defense. And in order to be overwhelming, it all falls on Luka, or a big chunk of it falls on Luka. Also, by the way, it falls on Luka and Austin to both function at a high level off of the ball. Luka needs to be an off-ball threat, whether that's as a catch-and-shoot threat or somebody who is capable of being a connector when the initial play is started. Austin, like the number of times I have just thought to myself, I really hope Austin is working on his shooting right now. since I've seen this roster put together, has been like innumerable almost. So I, you know, what you're looking at is a team that has a long way to go to get to neutral on the other side of LeBron. But at the end of the day, like it, you know, Luka better be MVP caliber, or all of this, all of everything that we've talked about from a basketball standpoint is kind of moot. Let's see. Somebody asked me, are you going to start Philly content and stop doing Lakers? No, I will not do that. Although the hours would be significantly better. So there is that, but no, I don't like Sixers Lounge doesn't quite have the same tune to it. Three level scorer, Cam Johnson, any interest for the Lakers? If they re-sign Watson, Denver will likely dump him to save taxes and get under the second apron. Would be a better fit at power forward than Kuminga, and is on a reasonable $23 million expiring contract. Vando plus Connect plus a pick is a match. Yeah, like I said, I don't think that the Lakers have enough to trade for Cam Johnson, and like that specific package there doesn't help the Nuggets get under the tax, right? Like you're still sending them money in that case. What you would need to do is like have it be a three-team deal where Vando and Connect go to Charlotte, and then Cam Johnson goes to the Lakers, and the Lakers and Charlotte send out whatever draft capital that they would need to send out. Or just the Lakers send out whatever draft capital that they need to send out. And I don't think they have enough draft capital to acquire Cam Johnson and also pay the Hornets to bail the Nuggets out of their tax situation. I just don't quite see it. This has been a lot longer than I thought. So I am going to hop off here, take my family to dinner. And then Harrison and I will be back here in the lounge tomorrow afternoon. So yeah, until then, and until the next time, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and win your first lineup and get $150 on Prize Picks. And yeah, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.